Matt Bubala in for Patty Vasquez here on Radio 720 WGN. How often, this is a total Patty topic here, how often are you having sex? And how does it relate to how happy you are as a couple? Elizabeth Bernstein is a former Chicagoan, now warm and cozy in Miami, but she joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing great. So you didn't do the study yourself, although that would be fascinating if you had, but you are reporting on a study that came out that was the Kinsey Institute and all the other famous, who do we have here, Chapman University in Orange, California, California State, Los Angeles, Sonoma State, and the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University did this study for 2 weeks. This is all the way back in 2006. So it's an old study, but they got so many answers that it takes a very long time to come out with the data from it, right? Is that how that works?
Exactly. So they did a survey of 39,000 individuals in 2006. But the way academic research works like this, you know, it's a lot of data to go through. And then also to get it peer reviewed. This is a very specifically designed study. So to get it through reviews at their universities and also the reviews of editors at this, it was published in the Journal of Sex, which is a very serious academic journal. So that takes a long time, and that's what happened. That's why it's just coming out now.
Okay, so it's a little bit old, but it had 39,000 people. Average age of the sample is 40 years old for women, 46 years old for men. It was a study of cohabitating heterosexual men and women who had been with their partner for at least 3 years. They were asked to rate their current sexual satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 7, which is curious to me. I wonder how they decided on 1 to 7, not the traditional 1 to 10. What do you think?
Well, it all has to do, I couldn't tell you the answer to that, but it's all statistical. So it's all something that they do, you know, so their statistical, okay. Their stats come out
breaks
correctly.
Down
I don't
them.
Know. Yeah, it just makes it work more easily for them because they're looking, they broke this up into couples. Based on the answers, couples who said they were satisfied in the bedroom, couples who were dissatisfied. So however they needed to break that up, they figured it out that way.
So interesting to me that so they asked them, the couples, to rate their overall sexual satisfaction in the first 6 months of a relationship and then their current status. And 83%, an overwhelming majority, right, recalled being satisfied in the first 6 months. That almost seems low because if you're not satisfied in the first 6 months, what are the likelihood you're making it to 3 years, you would think, right?
No, you're in trouble. That's right. Although you could keep 3 years going because that's from zero. You know, you've been together as a relationship. It's not at the start of marriage. It's zero. We met. We're now, you know, we've decided we're committed, you know, to 3 years. And so, sadly, there are some people, you know, aren't happy from the beginning. Yeah. One other thing I wanted to point out is that even though this study is older, the data is older, the researchers believe that these answers would not have changed, that this is information that you know, mores and sort of satisfaction in marriage has not changed enough, that the answers, they think the answers are very current.
The really interesting thing I think that came out of this is 79% of men and 81% of women who were satisfied in their sexual relationship said they have sex one or more times per week. Only 17% of dissatisfied men and 23% of dissatisfied women said they have sex that often. So the question becomes, and I don't know if it's answerable, is are they satisfied because they're having sex at least once a week or because they're satisfied in their relationship? Are they having sex at least once a week? You know, is it because, well, we're a happy couple who's kind of got our hands on each other, and so that's how it works? Or is it, you know, because we're making sure that happens, we tend to be happier? There's no real way to know that, is there?
There's no way to know that. The researchers do actually point it out in the study. They don't know that. But what they can tell from a lot of the other answers, these couples or these individuals were asked a lot of questions, is that that's not the only thing. Like, a lot of sex is not the only thing that the satisfied couples are doing differently. So another big thing was communicating about sex. They were mood setting, which is another big issue. There were a great deal of variety. They were practicing a lot of sexual variety. So while we can't quite know the answer to which came first, you know, a lot of sex or sexual happiness, sexual satisfaction, there were quite a few other differences between the happy ones and the unhappy ones.
So it sounds like it's not just the quantity of sex, maybe it's the quality of sex or their intimacy of their relationship overall seems to play a little more into it, that these couples that are dissatisfied seem to have different traits from other couples that maybe made the difference.
Exactly. It wasn't even traits. It was very specific actions they were doing. So they did not look at if we're happy in our relationship, if we're emotionally happy, what's happening in the bedroom. They looked only at what is happening in the bedroom. And they found out those couples that were happy in the bedroom were talking about sex. It wasn't, oh, we're talking about where to send the kids to college. They're talking about sex. They were mood setting. They were making time for date nights. They were practicing a whole lot of variety, more variety in the bedroom. One major finding that I thought was fascinating is they were saying, I love you during sex, so much more often than the couples who were not satisfied. So there were just a lot of things that were happening that were like actions. That spoke to the sort of a quality of their sex life that made them happier.
But again, you know, when you're saying they say I love you, to me that doesn't, it's still the chicken or the egg on that one, right? Are they saying I love you because they're in a more committed or happier relationship at the time versus the unsatisfied people, even when they're having sex, they're not that happy with each other. So maybe they're not saying
sure.
I love you.
Sure, but again, you can be in a happy marriage or a happy relationship and not have sex. There are couples who do that. They're, for whatever reason, they're not. So this did really not look at the happiness of the relationship. It looked at whether these individuals said, we are sexually satisfied.
Okay.
I'm sexually well paired with my partner. However, you're right. They do, you're probably going to say, I love you more if you are you feel things are better elsewhere in the relationship, but or not. You know, there are some people that are just more shy, they're more quiet in bed. Like, so, you know, we don't really know the answer to that. We just know that, yeah, for whatever reason, they were more expressive. They also were doing other things, like talking dirty in bed. Like, they were doing a lot more things. Like, that's what's kind of interesting. But you're right, we don't know which came first, happiness before you step into the bedroom, and that's why you're going to say, I love you, or, you know, we don't know that. But again, they really did sort of not look at the happiness in the relationship. They were just looking at what are we doing in the bedroom.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Bernstein. She's a columnist with the Wall Street Journal, and her article, What Keeps Couples Happy Long Term, is online at WSJ.com right now. You can check it out there. We'll put up a link on the website as well as on my Facebook page. If you give a like on my Facebook page, go to Facebook.com, The Matt Bubala Show. Give us a like. I'll put a link to it there. When we come back, what are the top five things that are actually very related between men and women? What makes them sexually satisfied? We'll find out next. Matt Bubala here for Patty Vasquez on WGN.
George? What are you doing?
Pleasuring you?
It's pretty late with Patty Vasquez, and we're keeping in theme, I think, with where the show normally goes. We're speaking with Elizabeth Bernstein from the Wall Street Journal about her article on this huge study that the data was finally released from on what makes people most sexually satisfied in longer-term relationships. These are relationships of at least 3 years. So, Elizabeth, they highlighted five types of mood settings that are most common, and as you said, the most important by far is saying, I love you. The other ways that couples set the mood were they engage in sexy talk, they laugh about something funny that happened during sex, they light candles or dim lights and play background music, all very, things that we can relate to. The five acts that lead to a satisfying sex life are the same for men and women. I was surprised by this. And they both sides said that trying a new position is what makes them happiest. And that was very curious to me. I'm very surprised by that. I mean, I'm only in one relationship, so I don't know how everybody is, but I honestly was surprised by that. And I wonder if that's because once you get into a longer-term relationship, there is no matter what, right, there's going to be some sort of monotony to it. So I wonder if it's really a sexual satisfaction in these new positions or just, hey, we're still engaged and doing different things and we're still young and hip and we're going to try different things. That's us.
Yeah, so they're saying that, we're trying different things. I was surprised, too. I was especially surprised that the women put that first, as well as the men.
Yeah.
But I think that they're thinking, like, look, when you're in a long-term relationship, after a while, it can be like, oh, great, that move again. So, like, I feel like they're thinking, they're saying, oops. But they're saying, that we are satisfying. We find our sex life satisfying because it's not only that old move again. We try, we shake it up. It's this move and that. move. And now they, you know, have three or four that they might try. But, you know, that maybe it also, my best guess is that it leads to a willingness to try. And it goes back to the communication. You know, they were communicating, the more satisfied couples, on everything. What do you like? Oh, this is what I like. You know, so they really were communicating carefully. So, yeah, it just wasn't monotonous for them.
Yeah, the women also especially cited taking a bath, taking a shower together, giving massages, which seemed like, you know, I don't know if we're going to generalize men and women. That seems like I'm not surprised by that. I guess that makes a lot of sense to me that women would like that. For men, the order was lingerie. We got to have some lingerie in here. Then we're cool with the shower or the bath. And then talking about her acting out fantasies.
Exactly.
Which I didn't see on your list. I didn't see on the women's list.
Yeah. Yeah. So what the women really look at it, and to be stereotypical, but they take a little longer to warm up. And so, you know, all of those things, the bath and the massage, you know, fall in under foreplay. So that's probably what's happening there. Yeah. And the men are a little, they're visual. Let's get the lingerie going.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there's, yeah, they were saying it like it is.
I also was interested that the researchers highlighted communication and how important that is by talking about what they're doing, asking for something they want or something they like, asking for feedback on how it went. I mean, that seems so like, oh, well, of course that would make sense. You should know that they like what you're doing or not, and not be afraid to talk about that. But I think we tend to forget that in our relationships.
Well, we forget it in our relationship, and then, you know, once if we haven't talked about it for a while or we never talked about it, suddenly it's going to be very, very hard to talk about. And then who wants to hear, you know, do you really want to ask, hey, did you like that? And find out that they didn't. Like, so that same old move you thought was your go-to, that they didn't like it. So, you know, it can be a very, it can be a thing that brings up a lot of vulnerabilities. And in fact, a lot of researchers say, or therapists say, actually, therapists would say, don't talk about sex while you're having it. You know, if you're going to have that sort of sexy talk about, you know, you're going to have a talk about sex, what you like, you should have it outside of the bedroom. That's different from like talking dirty.
That's interesting. So, yeah, that is interesting. So don't talk about it during. Set that for a separate time. Don't get all clinical and asking questions. That could kill the mood, right? That slows things down.
Yeah, exactly. And then you could hurt somebody when they really are the most vulnerable. I mean, you're very literally naked together. So, you know, to sort of say, oh, you know, I really like X. Well, what if X is something the person's never tried? You might just offend them. So, and better to do that, you know, at a different time when you're not so open and vulnerable.
So the other thing, so we get to the basics then, the strongest predictors of satisfaction. For men, the order was mood setting, sexual variety, and communication. For women, number one was how frequently they have orgasms. And therein lies the big difference between men and women, because
big
it's rarely that guys aren't, you know, satisfying that part of the equation. And you ladies with the mysterious ways and everything else that we can't quite figure out about the equipment, we just don't always achieve that for you. And so therein lies, I'm not surprised, I guess, that would be the big one.
No, and a little factoid that did not make it in the Wall Street Journal from this study is that 90% of men said they were orgasming. That included satisfied and dissatisfied men. So 90% of them were having climaxes. The women, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was much, much lower.
I imagine it was.
So
yes.
Just across the board. And, you know, it's harder for women. So sometimes mysterious to us too. But so then if they were, so they were clearly, that was a factor, right? So if you're a woman and, you know, you're going to have more orgasms, you're going to be more satisfied.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be part
funny
of it.
How it works like that.
But it comes down to basics, Elizabeth. It all goes back to the
basics. Sorry, I've got to be the one to tell you.
Got to get to the big O. What keeps couples happy long term? You can read it right now at Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com. Elizabeth Bernstein, our former Chicagoan, now nice and cozy in Miami. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's Matt Bubala in for Patty Vasquez on Radio 720 WGN.